going to remind you what goals the government and host boroughs set out when they put together their bid for the games in 2012. And then I'm going to ask what the boroughs can do to help achieve those goals. And I'll remind you that the five official Olympic host boroughs are Greenwich, Newham, Hackney, Tower Hamlets, and Waltham Forest. Those are the boroughs that have the Olympic Park within them or are bound on the Olympic Park, plus Greenwich, south of the river. Then I'm going to talk about two mechanisms for cooperation between central and local government to try to achieve the legacy goals and ask whether they will make a difference. And finally ask what the comprehensive spending review means for the post-Olympic plans. One of the main reasons that the Olympics were awarded to London for 2012 was the bid's focus on legacy. And there are two elements of this. One was the sporting legacy for all of Britain, and the second was the potential of the Olympic Games to transform the East End of London, that historically deprived part of the city. And this was the International Olympic Committee recognizing that while some host cities had managed to capitalize on the Games, like Barcelona from the 1992 Games, many others were just left with a collection of white elephants and little real change came about because of the Games, and I think Beijing is an example of that. The host boroughs see the Olympic Games as a once-in-a-generation or once-in-a-century possibility of focusing the attention of the world at large, but more importantly of central government, on the problems in their area and making it possible to bring together governments, central, local, and metropolitan, to work on those problems. Their priorities are basically nothing to do with sport, or little to do with sport. They're the general socioeconomic problems that that part of London has suffered from for more than 100 years. So they are looking to use the Games as a catalyst to transform educational outcomes, employment of local people, the housing in the area, not only through the new housing that will be created in the Olympic Park, but to improve existing housing, health, crime, and antisocial behavior, the streetscape and the urban experience, not only in the Olympic Park, but in the boroughs more generally, and finally the sporting legacy. Now, to address these problems will require money, but will the Olympic Games boost the finances of the boroughs? Most of the other host cities of the Olympics have powers to raise taxes locally. For example, they can capture some of the financial benefits of the increased flow of visitors through local sales taxes, through hotel taxes, business turnover taxes, and then decide how to spend that extra money. That is not the case in London. The vast majority of local government money comes from central government grant, and the remainder from council tax. Council tax will be unaffected by the Games. Central government grant is based on formulas that take into account demographic variables, socioeconomic variables, even topography and things, but they don't have any element that would reflect the short-term demands of an event like the Olympics. So the local governments, the host boroughs, and the rest of the boroughs in London, will not get any direct financial gains from financial benefit from hosting the Games. And in fact, their costs will increase in some areas. For example, parking enforcement around the Olympic route network, where parking won't be allowed for some or all of the time that the Games are in enforcement by training standards officers to make sure that people who don't have the right to sell Olympic trademark goods aren't illegally selling them from the back of white pants and things, increased rubbish collection, and so on. And last week, the DCMS announced that there will be some extra central government money to compensate the host boroughs for these expenses. And I think some research that we did played a role in that, so we were pleased to see that that had an effect. There is some government money as part of the overall Olympic funding package that will go to secure the Olympic legacy. But basically that's just to be spent within the Olympic Park, and it's for things like, making sure that wires aren't hanging out of the walls of buildings when they're taken out of Olympic use and so on. It's not for spending in the broader community. So the host boroughs have set very ambitious goals about how they want to use the Olympics to transform their areas, but no extra revenue. What approach could they take? Well, earlier this year, the host boroughs and central government concluded two agreements to do with what will happen after the Olympics. The first is something called a strategic regeneration framework, and the second is a metropolitan area agreement. Now, these are both agreements between central government and a group of local authorities in a defined geographical area that set out overall regeneration goals for that area. The strategic regeneration framework is a long-term document that covers a period of about 20 years, and the metropolitan area agreement is a shorter-term thing that looks over the next 5 years. And the particular goal of the regional arrangement, the metropolitan area, is to bring a number of the socioeconomic indicators in the host boroughs, in terms of education and employment, into line with the average for London, which doesn't, on the face of it, sound remarkable, but actually, if it was achievable in this five-year period, would require really very rapid progress towards convergence with the rest of London. What do these agreements commit the parties to do? Well, the parties, the central and local government, agree a shared set of priorities for the area, and they agree to further negotiate strategies and plans and frameworks, but there's very little concrete action that the two parties agree to undertake in these documents. Central government does commit itself to giving the host boroughs certain flexibilities and freedoms to release them from some constraints of regulations, but it's at this point not clear exactly what that would mean in practice. And the strategic regeneration framework and the metropolitan area agreement are both cooperation models that were developed really to deal with a different kind of problem. They were developed to deal with the problems that arise when a single functional economic area is governed by a multiplicity of local authorities or regional authorities. And they were first developed and used for conurbations in the north of England. So they're really about solving coordination problems and exploiting synergies. Is that what are those the main issues in the host boroughs? Well, it's not clear that they are. Some of the issues that come out of this approach. First, will the focus on the problems of the area dissipate after the games are finished in 2012? Almost certainly, yes. So the host boroughs are right to seize this moment before the games, problems of the host bars be solved by better coordination alone? Almost certainly not. So will there be any extra money associated with these agreements? There was none in the agreements as signed, and the comprehensive spending review suggests that it's very unlikely that there will be any extra money beyond that which has been earmarked already. However, there are a few points of hope in the CSR. It does promise to radically increase local authorities' freedom to manage their budgets, and says that local authorities will be given a universal power of competence, both of which suggest that the host bars may have more freedom to spend what money they do have in ways that meet their own priorities rather than central government's, particularly because the CSR contains a promise to end the ring fencing of almost all local government revenue grants by next year. And also significantly, one of the few budget areas that did not see a cut in the CSR was the amount committed for the